Thank you, Gabby. I actually used you as an example in the new members class today as a person. There was two classes ago that you were in the new members class, and you're all doing all this stuff like the ladies' book club, shelf care, and singing in the choir and singing in the front. You said, we appreciate all you do with us and doing time with your own disciples. It's awesome. Today we have so much going on. You know, we got New Member Sunday, and we have Worldwide Communion Sunday, too, and Sacrament of the Lord's Supper. So the sermon is supposed to be shorter. I know you're relieved. It's supposed to be. Now, if I got on a tear, it ain't going to be shorter, but I don't think I will. It's supposed to be a homily is what it's called. So we'll see how that goes. I'm still using the lectionary passage for today. It's from Matthew 21, 23 to 32. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why did you not believe him? But if we say of human origin, we're afraid of the crowd, for all were God, John is a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. But what do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, 'I will go, sir.' But he did not. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, and even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Y'all have a lot going on right now in your lives. I mean, I know some of it. I don't know all of it, but there's a lot going on. And, you know, just on my prayer list, I can think of people I'm praying for to be healed of grief from someone who has died that's been very important to them, essential to them, and they're struggling with that. I'm praying for people who have just recently had a diagnosis that just blew up their whole world. I'm praying for people who are struggling with family issues of people in their family that they're concerned about. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much. And I think when we go through these things, we want to kind of put this whole thing of following Jesus kind of like on hold. And that's, I want to say first, that's appropriate early, okay? But when you're living with it for a long time, you have to get to a point of getting back on the horse. And what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does that mean? And we've got this communion meal that we're about to have together, and my job right now is to help all of us take this communion and kind of have a clue what we're doing, you know what it means. And I'll give you a little hint at the beginning. I believe that it is food for the journey. I believe that it is energy. It is sustenance for us to walk down the path that God has called us to walk down. Now, depending on your age here, and we have a wide variety of ages, some of us have been walking with Christ for a short time, and some of us have been walking for Christ for a longer time. And if you have been following Christ for any amount of time, there is the sort of difference between what you profess and what you perform, or what you promise at the beginning and what you think you're going to do and what you actually practice as a Christian. And I think that's a really important part of what we're talking about here, that what we just had new members who promised some things, right? And we have all been there. We have promised those things. And yet, as we get into the slog of day-to-day walk with Jesus, the profession of faith and the practice of faith are two different things. They're harder. And so I want to talk about that today, and I want to start in a very weird place. I want to talk about Deion Sanders, Coach Prime Time. And, I kind of lost track of Deion Sanders. He was a great player. He was the only player, I think, to play in a Super Bowl in the NFL and also to play in the World Series as a Major League Baseball player. He played in the World Series for the New York Yankees. And it's amazing to me. He was an amazing athlete. He was fast, he was arrogant. He was outspoken. I remember seeing a fight break out when he stepped up to the plate as a rookie, and instead of like dusting his cleats off, he drew a dollar sign in the dirt with his bat, and the catcher was an old crusty, I think it was Tim McCarver, just pushed him down. And he was just arrogant. I missed the part of him becoming a Christian. Did you? Did y'all know that? I mean, I missed that. I had no idea. I just remember the kind of arrogant, super talented guy. But you can go online and find him talking about his, it's an amazing testimony to him, a very dramatic thing that happened in his life. And he sold out. And as a matter of fact, I was telling Cole put on Instagram this morning this quote from Deion Sanders. You know, he just became the head coach at Colorado. He said, "Let's stop right now and trust God." This is Deion Sanders talking. "Let's stop right now and trust God with all our hearts and mind. We claim we have faith, but we fear what today and tomorrow may bring us. We must believe wholeheartedly that God has our best interests at heart, and we will be great in all aspects. Let's trust God and not what you see and hear." And that's just, kind of his daily, what do you call it? It's not a tweet anymore. It's an X. I don't know what you call it. You used to be able to say it was a tweet, but it's an X now. Anyway, he's become a Christian. He's become a huge Christian. And so he has just taken this job at Colorado, and some of y'all are following this. He's taking this job at the University of Colorado in Boulder, and he was at Jacksonville State, which is a historically black college, and he came there and basically let all of the people go that were players because they were 1-11 the year before. And he said, "I promise you that we will be victorious this year." And so now he's made that promise, he's made that profession, and we're going to see if he actually practices that, if that actually becomes, if the performance is equal to the promise. But it's gotten a lot of attention. And part of what's happening is, I saw an interview where he said, I'm a coach, but the reason, and they were saying, "He's going to go to the NFL and be a coach." And the people were saying, "No, he's not." And the reason he's not is because he feels called to minister to these young men on his team. That he feels called by Jesus Christ to be an example to them and nurture them and mentor them into a relationship with Christ to be Christian men. And so the question is, he has said that. He has professed that this is what I'm going to do with this team. Not just that he's professing they're going to have a winning season, but he's professed that these players are going to become good people and followers of Christ. And I'm going to stop the story right there, and I'll get back to it. But I want you to think about what you promise and what you perform. I want you to think about what you profess and then what you practice, because that's what this story is about. Now, I'm going to go to the scripture, all right, and I want you to understand, we were in 18. I mean, I know I missed last Sunday, but we were in 18 just two Sundays ago. Now we're in 21. And what happened is they skipped over a bunch of stuff that's with Palm Sunday, So they're going, that's the, what the lectionary people who do this, they keep all the Palm Sunday stuff for Lent. So they skipped over this. So what has already happened, Jesus has come into Jerusalem, you know, the triumphal entry with the donkey, the whole deal. And then he goes to the temple and he does the whole thing about, you know, cleansing the temple from the money changers. You know, he turns over the tables and runs everybody out of there. And then these children ask him to heal them and he heals them. And then he goes, he's done this, a good job for a day, and he goes where we would all go, to the suburbs to sleep. He went to Bethany, spent the night. And the next morning he goes back into town, goes back in the temple, and this is when our story starts right here. So that's basically what happened in 19 and 20. And so the chief priest didn't get to talk to him when he was throwing out all the money changers. So now they get to talk to him. So they come, it's the elders and chief priests, and they come to him and they ask this question: by what authority are you doing these things? And basically it's a question to say, how the heck do you get to, who the heck are you? And that's the, in the sanctuary language that we're using. Who the heck are you? And so Jesus, you know, is like, they're asking him, do you have a seminary degree? You know, where have you studied? Who was your teacher? And, you know, let's not be too hard on them. You know, some guy came in on a Sunday from nowhere, you didn't know him, started, you know, like throwing out the collection plate, you know, and start preaching something. We would say, wait a minute. You know, are you Presbyterian? What have you done? I understand that kind of question. But Jesus is so smart. He does a rabbinical kind of argument technique. And that is, you answer a question with a question. And they say, by whose authority do you do this? And then he does this whole thing. Well, I'll answer that in a minute if you'll answer this. Whose authority was John? And that put them in a real bind, because they didn't believe John, but they were afraid of the people. And so they say, the people, the chief priests, they're supposed to know, okay? They're supposed to know everything. And they go, we don't know, which they don't ever say. And then Jesus got them, and he goes, he's kind of a grandmaster, you know, playing with people in the park, you know, in chess. He goes, okay, you don't know, I don't need to tell you either. But here's a story. And so here's this parable. And it's about the two sons. And so there, the two sons are lounging around this guy's house, and he's wealthy and he's got vineyards. And you know, they're on their iPad and they've got their ear pods in, and the dad comes in there and pulls the ear pods out and says, listen, you need to work. You know, you're 25 years old and living in my basement. You need to work. And so he says to the one son, all right, will you go into the vineyard and work? And he goes, no, I won't. I'm right in the middle of writing a song. And so then he goes to the other side of the basement and to his 24-year-old son and says, hey, will you go work in the vineyard? And he's very polite, and he says, oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I will. Sure. He says, good. So he goes upstairs. And then that guy, the second guy, doesn't do anything. He fooled him. The first son started thinking about it and went, you know, I feel bad about that. And he goes and he does it. Now, neither one of them, you know, I mean, neither one of them are very good sons. You know what I mean? I mean, what you would want is you'd want a son to go, yes, dad, and go. That's what you want. So neither of them were very great. One of them said, no, dad, and went. And the other one said, yes, sir, very polite, and did not go. And so, and Jesus' question to them is, you know, who was justified in that? And so, you know, they say the one who did it. So here's the thing, because, you know, obviously he told this against those elders and chief priests, right? Because they were the ones who had professed to follow God. I mean, that was their whole life, was following God. And they cared zero about the poor. And they cared zero about justice. And when God himself came into the midst of them, they did not recognize God. And instead say he was a blasphemer and killed him. And so they were the ones who said they were going to follow and didn't. And the ones who said they wouldn't follow were the common people. The tax collectors, like Matthew, who wrote this gospel, was a tax collector. And sinners and prostitutes who resisted God early but then turned, okay? And that's where I think it follows us. It comes to us. There are people whose profession of Jesus is much better than their practice. And there's people whose practice of following Christ is better than any profession they ever made. And we talk about grace, and by grace we're saved and everything. But, you know, you look at behavior. It's like in a relationship. If somebody says, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you all the time, and they do terrible things to you and hurt you and use you, if you go to a therapist, they're going to tell you, look at their behavior. Don't listen to what they're saying. Look at their behavior. And the same thing is true with following Jesus. We can praise God all we want to in the here. But if we're not walking the walk, if we're not going out into our neighborhood and helping those who have less than we do, if we're not including people who have been excluded, if we're not bringing people into our house that are homeless and helping them find shelter, then we're not doing it. And that's what we talked about this in the new members class today. That's the whole thing about belonging to a church, is that you have a place where you can plug in and follow Christ and do the work of Christ. It's very hard to do it, you know, in your own life, in your own home, you know, little thing. But here, you know, you can, in a church, you can follow Christ into all these places. You can support. By the way, I didn't mention this, but Pledge Sunday will be November 19th, where we give pledges for the next year. And those pledges, those are the things that pay for the ministry we do here. And it's a very spiritual thing. I wish you could have heard what Barbara Marner said. It was the most spiritual financial talk I've ever heard in the new members class. But it is the way that God uses all of who we are. And it's a way that we can practice what we profess. And I've, you know, I've always felt like that was very, very different. Now, I want to return to the story of Deion Sanders, because he said he was going to make young men into followers of Christ. And the best player that he brought from Jacksonville State up to Colorado was a guy named Travis Hunter. And Travis Hunter, in college nowadays, is unheard of. He played both ways. And he was the best player on offense as a wide receiver. And he was the best player on defense as a cornerback, as a defensive back. He was best on both things. And in Travis Hunter, in this game, the second game they had was against Colorado State. This is their rival just on the other side of Denver. And Travis Hunter was going out for a ball, and it went over his head. And the safety for Colorado State hit him anyway, really hard, way after the fact. Did y'all see this? I know Aubrey probably saw it. I saw it. And it knocked him out of the game, lacerated his liver, and he had to go to the hospital. The guy who hit him was a kid named Henry Blackburn. He was a safety for Colorado State. And I'll say, yeah, you know, Travis Hunter's black. Henry Blackburn's white. And that, you know, there's all this stuff on social media about that. That was a dirty hit. That was a late hit, and it sent him to the hospital. People published Henry Blackburn's personal address, his dorm room at Colorado State, and his phone number, and that of his parents and two little sisters living at home in Colorado. They published that on the internet. And they were getting death threats for that. And Deion Sanders went on TV, went on whatever now is TV, you know, internet, everything, and he said, hold up, y'all. This guy, Henry Blackburn, is a great kid. He was just playing hard, and he made a mistake in the game. He hit him late. And he is a fine person, and we forgive him, and Travis forgives him, our whole team forgives him. And if I hope it's not any of our fans who are doing these death threats, but a kid like that does not deserve a death threat. And what did Travis Hunter do? This is before Deion even went on that thing. Travis Hunter and Henry Blackburn actually called Travis at that night of the when he was in the hospital. And then Travis, so they had each other's number. Travis said, man, we got to show these people. Found out that Henry Blackburn was a Christian. And Travis is a Christian. And he said, man, we got to show people that this hate cannot stand. And so he said, let's tell you what, you come up here and let's go bowling. And so you find it, this incredible video of these two guys bowling together, laughing, having a great time. And then they decide they've got to do a video talking about their faith. And they do. And you can find that. And Henry Blackburn and Travis is sitting on a park bench. And he goes, I want to introduce you to a buddy of mine. And then he stands up and it's Henry. And they hug and sit down and they talk about everything. And they talk about their faith. Now that is practicing what you believe. That is the performance of the profession. And it also means that Deion Sanders, that's the performance of what Deion Sanders professed too. That your Christianity has to extend beyond worship. It's got to extend in those things where the rest of the world, there were people, you can find it too on the internet, saying this kid needs to die. He needs to have a scholarship revoked. All this stuff, this really awful stuff, where those two guys say, man, we gotta have positivity here. And they overcame it. So Travis, just remember those two names. Travis Hunter is on Deion's team, and Henry Blackburn, or Hank Blackburn, is on Colorado State. And that is the actual performance of the profession. Now, as we're going here to this table today, we're going to profess our faith in Jesus Christ. And it is strength for the journey, whatever you're dealing with. And we're all dealing with stuff. It's about more than dealing with your personal stuff. It's about overcoming your personal stuff with the strength of this meal and going and walking as Christ-like in this world, of being the incarnation of Jesus in the world to other people. You know, that's what, when I watched that video of Travis and Henry, it blessed me. It made me cry, honestly. And I thought, they did that. They blessed me. Those two guys, they'll never meet me, they'll never know me, but they blessed me. And that's what we're called to do, is to bless other people. Where there's hatred, to overcome it with love. Where there's negativity, overcome it with positivity. That's what we're called to, and it's hard. It's really hard, and I admire those men for it, those two men, and I admire Deion for inspiring it in them. I want to close with two things. One, Jesus earlier in Matthew says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I say? And that's what he's saying to us in this meal. Just don't call him Lord, Lord, if you're not willing to do the things that he says. And the second is from Barbara Brown Taylor in a book called An Altar in the World. And I'll close with this. In an age of information overload, the last thing any of us needs is more information about God. We need the practice of incarnation by which God saves the lives of those whose intellectual ascent has turned them as dry as dust, who have run frighteningly low on the bread of life, and who are dying to know more God in their bodies, not more about God, more God. So as we approach communion today, let's ask for more God. Let's ask to have the strength to be the incarnation of Jesus in the world. Let's ask for the power to perform those things that we profess. Let's pray together. Lord, all of us are dealing with things, and it's so hard to look beyond that. And yet we do hear you calling us. In the midst of our sorrow, in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our anger, in the midst of our hurt and jealousy, let us be like you would be. Let us be the incarnation of Jesus in our world. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.